the process of selecting members for the Administrative Appeals Tribunal might be getting more political. In the last 10 years, more than 40% had been appointed with ties to political backgrounds. Dr. Harry Hobbs is a senior lecturer in law at the University of Technology, and Andrew Hullinger asked him how judges in Australia are appointed.
The way that judges are appointed in Australia is just by the government. The government has the authority to appoint a judge. They're not reviewed. Their names are not sort of considered by Parliament or debated in the media or the community. The government can just appoint anyone they like as a judge. Now, of course, there are requirements and, you know, qualifications a person needs to have in order to be a judge, and that's sort of generally things like legal training, you know, obviously being a lawyer, some sense of being an expert in the field that they're going to be working in. But they're simply appointed by the government, a gift of the executive government. So it's very much like the US in that it's just whoever is the Prime Minister and the Attorney General, they are the ones ultimately responsible.
The separation of powers in Australia dictates that the executive, parliament, legislators are meant to be separate from the judiciary, yet there seems to be an influence that members of parliament have over the judiciary system that they arguably shouldn't have, at least according to the constitution.
So Australia does operate under a separation of powers, but it's not entirely strict. So members of the government sit in parliament. So unlike the United States, where the president sits outside of Congress, members of government, Prime Minister Anthony Albanese, also has a seat in parliament. So the executive is made up of members of the legislature. Now, the judiciary is a bit more separate in that you obviously can't be a judge and in parliament at the same time. And there's lots of different rules and principles that try to keep the judiciary separate from government. But there are some areas where it's really hard to do so, right? And so one of them is ultimately who gets to appoint judges. But then the judge obviously has that position until they're 70 years of age at the Commonwealth level. So they are unable to be removed unless there's really quite dire circumstances.
In your article, you referenced a decision made by the majority of the High Court of Australia, which was that Aboriginal Australians are not considered aliens under the Constitution, even if they weren't born in Australia and are not citizens. There was some political commentary that was after that case, particularly from figures such as Peter Dutton, who claimed that the decision was a stunning example of judicial activism. That sort of political commentary, is that something that is good to see? Is that a good element of democracy, or is that concerning?
So members of the government, they're always going to have some complaints, political complaints about the decision that's been made, you know, that because it might impact their ability to enact a policy that they really want to do. So there's always going to be some tension there whenever judges need to decide whether some aspect of government policy is constitutional or not. In this case, the previous government spent many years deporting people who were guilty of serious offences and weren't citizens. And they, you know, I think there's a lot of discussion people might be aware of between New Zealand and Australia about a lot of New Zealand citizens who were born in New Zealand but left the country when maybe they were 2 years old and being deported back to New Zealand after committing offences. And that's caused a lot of strife between the Prime Minister of New Zealand and the government of Australia. But this was a government policy for many, many years. And this decision, the Love Toms case from 2020, prevented the government from deporting Aboriginal Australians. And so that is obviously why many members of the government were upset about it, frustrated about it, and expressed their frustration. I think it's impossible to avoid that on contentious cases. The problem that happened afterwards is that one of the members of the government, Senator Amanda Soker, went and gave a speech that basically said, look, there's going to be two judges who are going to retire in a couple of years. We should replace them with judges we know who will decide the decision differently. Now, the two judges have retired. They've been replaced by members of by two appointments made by Scott Morrison's government before the end of the, or before the election. And now the government is up to the High Court and said, can you please overturn that decision you made 2 years ago?
In March this year, the Senate Legal and Constitutional Affairs Committee revealed that up to 40% of those appointed in the last 3 years by the Morrison government had political backgrounds. The recommendation from this committee was that the current system be disbanded and a new system established. How important do you feel this recommendation is?
I think it's really important. And so if you look back historically, during the Howard and Rudd and Gillard governments, it was about 5 to 6% of people who were put on the body had political backgrounds. But during the last 8 years, the last 9 years, I guess, of the Liberal National government, it was about up to 40%. So you can see it's a huge increase from what is sort of the generally accepted number. And so the danger, again, is that when you go to the AAT and you ask them to review a government decision, it may well be someone who is a member of that government or shares the same political view and political party even.
Dr. Harry Hobbs, Senior Lecturer in Law at the University of Technology, speaking there with Andrew Herlinger.